tossing and turning all night like a salad, it's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenacy, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenacity's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenacity is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenacity.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenacity.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. help.com/sober. Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 gut superhero, Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Your ability to tolerate frustration can make your life easier or it can make it harder. For most of my life, I made things harder for myself. In this episode, I'm explaining what frustration tolerance is, some interesting studies on emotion regulation, how a low frustration tolerance increases our risk of relapse, and what we need to do to better tolerate discomfort, negative emotions, frustration, and anger. So let's dig in. Back to the Sober Powered Podcast. I am your host, Jill, and today we're talking frustration tolerance. So when I was drinking and in the first couple years of my sobriety, I thought that I had bad luck, that things never ever went my way, and that I would just never win. And my toxic way of thinking was making everything harder for me. When something did happen that was mildly unpleasant or bad, I would get easily overwhelmed, bring in all of my past experiences to support why my life sucked or why this person was a jerk, and have my mood ruined for the entire day. This level of frustration makes it very easy to drink too, because why even bother trying if things never go your way? But through doing the work in sobriety, I learned how to improve this, so I'm not letting everything get to me so intensely anymore. So before we talk about frustration tolerance, it's important to understand what frustration is. So frustration is a very common negative emotion, and it contributes to going back to drinking at any point in sobriety, not just in the beginning. Although we do get a lot of frustration when we first quit. So frustration occurs when you're blocked from achieving an outcome or a reward that you want. And if this feeling continues, it turns into anger. And if you can't regulate that anger, then it escalates into rage. Our ability to be able to tolerate frustration or any other emotion contributes to both developing an addiction and being able to get out of the addiction. So it's critical that we learn skills to cope once we stop drinking, or we're just going to keep being hyped up and overwhelmed and uncomfortable. You may experience a lot of frustration in the first 90 days of sobriety, but it can continue for a while. I struggled with it for my first year, but this was also a pre-existing problem for me. So if you listen to episode 161 about what to expect emotionally when you quit drinking, you may remember that when we quit drinking, we experience a shift in how we process feelings and an exaggerated stress response. So what this means is that things can be a lot more triggering for you, which makes us more vulnerable to relapsing. Alcohol impacts how the emotional centers in the brain work, and when you suddenly remove the alcohol, your brain has to figure out how to work again. In the first 90 days especially, small things that would normally be insignificant can cause huge negative emotions and cravings to drink. Some studies have even found that sober people in the first 3 months have an increased startle response compared to healthy controls, so things set us off easier than they should. Your brain is healing, and it's learning how to take care of itself and regulate without alcohol. And you are also learning how to self-soothe, which is something that we didn't know how to do before, which is why we drank so much. When this feels hard, please just remind yourself that it's not permanent, and once you get through the stage, you never have to go through it again. Your brain will recalibrate, you will heal, you will learn more skills. Some people are more prone to frustration than others, just like some people are more prone to anxiety or shame than others. We are all different. But increasing your ability to tolerate frustration is important, and this is something that I teach in anger management if you're interested. Depression, aggression, and impulsivity are all thought to be associated with a sensitivity to getting frustrated. A 2013 study published in Neuropsychobiology looked at 60 sober patients and found that aggressive or depressive reactions to frustration were common in this group. But it was the depressive reaction that was the strongest predictor of relapse. So when you get blocked from an outcome or a reward that you want, you can react by getting mad, which is the aggressive response, or you can react by getting depressed, defeated, and hopeless. Other studies have found that people who successfully get sober with or without formal treatment, they think about their goals, they have a good frustration tolerance, they demonstrate self-efficacy, which means that they believe in their ability to stay sober. These are all great skills that we have to develop as we stay sober longer. And studies also show that social support plays a major role in increasing our frustration tolerance. It's easy to isolate when you have stuff going on, but forcing yourself to call someone or check in with your online community helps a lot. Just having people be nice to you and check on you is helpful, but you never know. Other people may be able to relate to your experience too, so you feel less alone in it. I've actually been challenging myself to do this one more lately. I tend to isolate and want to handle everything on my own because I think no one's going to understand me, no one's going to be helpful, they'll just make me feel worse. And I've been challenging myself the past week or so to reach out to people and talk to them when I'm feeling upset. And it is really, really helping. Hope for the future is really important when you're getting sober and dealing with tough things. And this is why I always push you to get support. It's really hard to have hope when you're doing it alone and you feel like no one understands you. Just being in a room, whether that's an actual room or a virtual one, with people that have felt the way that you've felt, did the things that you've done, and struggled the way that you've struggled, can give you hope. If you feel hopeless, it's so easy to get the F-its and drink. And in terms of anger, if you walk around feeling hopeless and frustrated about your life, then you're bringing a bad attitude and expectations into every situation. And this is what I did, and something I have a tendency to continue doing, so I really have to fight against this. Our attitude and expectations are what cause us to react disproportionately to minor things. Hope allows you to become more flexible and bounce back. Another issue with frustration, especially with us problem drinkers, is when the reward is no longer possible. So remember, frustration happens when you expect a reward, but then you don't get it. With drinking, the consequences don't impact our expectation of the reward. We keep expecting to have the same good stuff happen, or that it'll be different this time, and then our drinking continues to go the same way it always has. This is called reward prediction error, and it's very common in people with addiction because of the way that addiction changes the brain. If you have high expectations for rewards, then you're more likely to get frustrated. Plus, addiction makes our brain less adaptable and flexible, so it's more difficult to change. I'll list some more episodes on this topic in the show notes too, if you're interested. But my opinion on this is, addiction makes us rigid, and we expect to get everything we want when we want it. Living like this for years is going to make you very prone to frustration, because in real life, we can't get what we want when we want it. Sometimes we have to wait, or sometimes it's just not realistic. Sobriety and learning to deal with negative emotions involves a lot of acceptance. We have to accept the things that we can't change instead of getting frustrated about them. This doesn't mean you have to like it or you have to gaslight yourself into excusing bad or abusive behavior, but it means our way isn't the best way, and we can't expect everyone to do what we think is best on our timeline. So when we have an emotion, we have a few options. We can stuff it and suppress it. We can blow up. We can try to reframe what we're thinking about that emotion, or we can accept it. Studies have found that suppressing emotions actually elevates physiological arousal and negativity. So focusing on unpleasant aspects of yourself, the world, the future, or other people. And physiological arousal means how heated you're getting, and all the cortisol and adrenaline that's being dumped into your system. So stuffing it doesn't actually stuff it. It just escalates the negative emotion inside your body. Acceptance or reframing are both great strategies for reducing anger or other negative emotions. A 2003 study found that when participants are exposed to 10% carbon dioxide-enriched air, they have less fear and less catastrophic thoughts when they're instructed to use acceptance strategies versus just using breathing techniques with no instructions on the mental part. Acceptance means that you're aware of it and you're not doing anything to try to change it or fight against it. Very similar to the definition of emotional sobriety, actually, which is the ability to tolerate what you're feeling without having to do something to make the feeling go away. So this is the goal. Studies on anger specifically have found that people who were able to use reframing had less anger, less negative emotions, more positive emotions, and more adaptive physiological responses. So their body was able to calm down. And similarly, other studies have asked people to remember and explain an anger-inducing event from their past. Half were asked to ruminate and really think on it, without doing anything else, and the other half were instructed to reframe the experience. The rumination group had increased anger, perseveration, meaning they got stuck on the story, and greater sympathetic nervous system activation than the reframing group. So remember, our sympathetic nervous system is responsible for our fight or flight response. And I did a deep dive into how the nervous system works and how alcohol affects it in episode 149 if you're interested. There are a couple components of frustration tolerance, and if this resonates with you, then please come hang out with us in anger management next month. But the component that we're focusing on here is your perception. Something happens, we assign meaning to it, and then that meaning determines how we feel. Stuffing the emotion doesn't help, but reframing or acceptance will allow you to change the meaning that you're assigning to it. And there are lots of ways to do this too. So let me give you an example. I teach chemistry at a college in Boston, and I'm on the road at 7 a.m. trying to beat the Boston traffic. People drive really aggressively here, and it's not uncommon to be cut off and flipped off at 7 a.m. I could get heated and think, "How dare that person? I'll show them. I need to teach them a lesson. Frick you." Or I could think, "Wow, that person must be having a really bad day to act this way at 7 a.m. I feel bad for them." The first results in me getting angry. And if I get angry enough, then I have a rage hangover that sticks with me all day. The second results in me feeling a bit heated for a moment and then moving on with my day. And by the time I get to school, I may not even remember what that person did. Anger management and emotion regulation strategies are about giving us back our power. We don't have to react to everything around us anymore or let other people control our moods. So my next anger management class is coming up in a few weeks. So if you would like to see the schedule and join, then go visit soberpower.com/anger. And what I would like you to do is to be aware of your reactions and your interpretations today and just get curious. And I'll talk to you in the next one.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.